Welcome to the In Touch podcast with Charles Stanley for Tuesday, April 2nd. Today, we continue our study of 1 Corinthians 15 with the encouraging reminder that Christians are living the life that never dies.
Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies." How are you going to live even if you die? And second, "Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." How do you explain that? When the funeral homes have lots of business, and every day somebody dies, multitudes of people die, and they're not all unsaved people, but some of them are Christian people. People who've been born again with the Spirit of God. Their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and yet we go to the funeral home and there's their body in the casket. How is it they're dying? And Jesus said, "If you believe in me, you won't die." What did he mean by that? That scripture is like so many others that we read and we think we know what it means, and yet sometime the richest, deepest truths of God's Word, we skim right across the top and we miss the truth of it. So first of all, an explanation of what he's saying here. You and I are more than just body. We are body, soul, and spirit. And whereas most people spend most of their time working on the body, which is only the house of the real person, God says the most important part of you is the unseen part, not the physical part. But he says you have not only a body but a soul. You have a mind, a will, and emotion, a conscious and a consciousness. You have not only that, but you have a spirit. And that which is going to last beyond this life is the part of you that is unseen. Jesus said, "I'm the resurrection, the life. I'm not just going to give you something." He says, "I'm it, and I'm coming to live within your very being," because every single one of us has his life living within us. You and I have within us the life of eternal God. We are living with God's eternal life flowing through this very being of ours. We have his life. There is no dying of God's life. Almighty God himself would have to die. He would have to cease to exist for a child of God to ever die. You say, "But what about my body?" Well, why is it necessary to leave these bodies behind? How many of you want to take them with you? All right, then you shouldn't be complaining about it. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because he tells us here. You see, somehow the world puts all of its emphasis on the beauty of the body and the shape of the body and the health of the body and the exercise of the body and the caring of the body. And God's emphasis is on something far greater than that, because the Lord knows all this is only temporary. Listen to what he says. In this 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, beginning in verse 35, when he says in this question, "How are the dead raised?" He's not talking about the person. He's talking about the body all the way through here. "And with what kind of body do they come?" He's speaking of the body, because he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, look there for a moment if you're not familiar with that passage. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when he's describing what is going to happen when Jesus comes, he says, verse 13, "We don't want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, God will bring with him those who've fallen asleep in Jesus." Now, if they're asleep in the grave, how's he going to bring them with him? When he says fallen asleep in Jesus, that's his way of describing how the saint passes on. It's like going to sleep, waking up in glory. He says he's going to bring them with him. You don't bury saints, you simply bury these physical bodies. Well, why is that true? Remember this, that when sin came into the world, everything was marred. Everything suffered the consequences of sin. Man, his body, and everything else. So listen to what happens in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says in verse 48, "As is the earthy, so also are those who are earthy. And as is the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. Just as we have borne the image of the earthy," that is these physical bodies of ours, "we shall also bear the image of" what? "The image of the heavenly," a glorified body. "Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood," watch this, "flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God." So, physical death isn't the death of a child of God. Physical death is simply unclothing ourselves of that which we don't want any longer anyway. Who wants to carry wrinkles to heaven? Not I. Who wants to carry bodies that are sick and diseased to heaven? We don't want to do that. He says flesh and blood cannot. He didn't say it will not. He says it cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Therefore, Jesus could say to Mary and to Martha in these grievous moments of her life, everyone who lives and believes in me, who trusts me, who receives me, shall never die, not ever die, no way to die. The only way for a believer to die is for God himself to die, and God is eternally existent. And my friends, some of you have stood by the gravesides, or by the casket, at the funeral home, in a home, by one of your loved ones, and you saw their body all stretched out. And for some of you, the thought was, I will never see them again. But if they're one of God's children, my friend, listen, you only have a separation of time. Because he says we're going to know each other in heaven. Every single one of God's children is going to be there. God isn't going to miss anybody. There are not going to be any numbers left out. Every single child of God is a member of the family of God, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, reconciled to God, pardoned by him, justified by him, and his name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We are forever God's. And there is no way in the world for us to ever be lost, because the very life of God is living within us. Now, once I grasp that truth, and once that truth begins to grip my heart, it takes on a whole new meaning with a Christian life. You aren't just a somebody, you're somebody very special. Jesus Christ has condescended to come into this world and live his life in your body. But you see, this body is not your real life any more than this church building is the church. Drapes, lights, carpet, pews, this isn't the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. This building is the church house. The church is sitting in the pews. You know what this thing is? This is the life house. This isn't the life. This body of yours houses God's divine life. Live within your body. You are, listen, you are filled with God's life. Your very life is now tapped into his eternal life. His eternal life is surging through your life. Now that's the longevity of it. What about the quality of it? If the Lord Jesus Christ's life is living through you and in you moment by moment, day by day, we don't have to try to be good. We don't have to try to do better. We don't have to patch up our mistakes. What do? We rise in the morning recognizing, and you see, it is God who resurrects you every morning. Last night, when you lay down upon your bed and you closed your eyes and you became unconscious, God could have called you home and you couldn't have done one single solitary thing about it, not a thing. All of life and all awakening every single morning is a resurrection by Almighty God. Every time you close your eyes could be the last time you breathe one more breath on the face of this earth. It is God in his great love that allows us to live here, to live out our time. You have his life living within you. Now listen, why do you suppose that Jesus Christ came to live his life within you? I'll tell you two reasons. There are many. One of them is because he knew you couldn't live it any other way. Secondly, you'd never make it to heaven unless you had his life. Now, is it too much for God to expect, having given us his life, to challenge us, to command us to allow him to live out in these physical bodies, these life houses, to live out in these temples, as he calls them, his life? It is his life. Is it too much to ask that we allow him to live out now through us his life? We still have a mind, will, and emotion. We still are the ones who do the choosing, even though we have his life. We still have the right to choose to allow him to live his life through us, or to choose to do our own thing, which is a disaster in the Christian life. Once the body of Christ ever grasped the idea that the body of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the living, visible form of the living, eternal, heavenly God, and all the supernatural power of God exists within us, and God is willing to exercise that through us, my friend, the church of Jesus Christ will make an impact upon this world that will absolutely astound all of humanity. But as long as I see myself as somebody who's been forgiven of my sins and struggling through life, and I've been patched up with this good thing and that good thing, and I'm trying to do better, and I'm working myself to get myself to glory, I will live in defeat. He said, "He that believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? Death is simply the shedding of that which we want no longer anyway, and for the exchange of a whole new suit, a whole new body, one that can never be tarnished or touched by sin and death. What do you suppose he meant when he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15? He speaks here in the latter part, he says, verse 54, "When this perishable will have put on the imperishable, our glorified body, this mortal will have put on immortality, death cannot touch us. Then will come about the saying that is written." What is that saying? "Death has been swallowed up, gulped down, destroyed by victory. O death, where is your victory now? O death, where is your sting now?" Because you see, Jesus Christ came and pulled the sting out of death. Jesus Christ came and conquered death. Jesus Christ came to shout to an unbelieving world that life begins in a personal relationship with Him. And apart from that personal relationship, there is no life. There is physical death. And then, tragedy of tragedies, there is the second death, which is eternal separation from life. God is the source of all life. Listen, God is the source of all life. And to be eternally separated from God is to be eternally separated from life itself. If you're eternally separated from life, then you are separated unto death, which the Bible calls the second death. How could he say to her, "Mary, Martha, listen to me. Everyone who lives and believes in me, listen, shall never die. Do you believe this?" You recall, he says in Romans 6, one of the most pivotal passages in the Word of God, when Christ died on the cross 2,000 years ago, every single believer was crucified with Him. He identified every believer on that cross with Him. When He was buried, we were identified in His burial. When He arose, we were identified in His resurrection, so that His death we experienced, His burial we experienced, His resurrection we've experienced. The life of Jesus, which has become our life, means that the very life of God is now our life. We've experienced the crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection. There is no more dying to a child of God. When He was crucified and died on the cross, so did we. When He was buried, so were we. When He arose, so did we. So that the moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, what happened to Him 2,000 years ago? Christ identified you with that, and there is no more dying for a child of God. There is no second death. And what the world calls death, God simply says, this is the shedding of this physical, limited, diseased body, to exchange it for an unlimited, unlimited by time, unlimited by space, unlimited by speed. There is no way to comprehend the glorified body of Jesus Christ except to say He was here and He was there. He says, we're just going to drop this one and we're going to get a new one. Let me ask you a question. If the Lord Jesus Christ in some form or fashion chose to call you today, you've got 5 minutes to live. Let me ask you a question. Do you know today that you are the possessor of eternal life? Can you look back at any given point in your life and say, there, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord. On that given day, I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins. I do believe that He died on the cross. And you see, the reason God can give us eternal life is because He paid the penalty for the very thing that took that life away in the beginning. It was sin that gave us the problem. It is this same sin for which He died and pardoned and paid the debt. If my debt has been paid and I receive his son as the debt payer, the debt which was eternal death. That debt no longer rests upon a child of God. That debt having been paid, now you and I have the privilege of enjoying eternal life. There is no way for a saint to ever die. Absent from the body, present with the Lord, dropping this thing, getting a new one. But do you know, are you certain in your heart that you can look back and say, yes, on that day? Or at that particular time, you may not be able to recall the day or the hour. I know at that given time in my life, I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ and trusted him as my Savior and my Lord. Because you see, my friend, this Christian life isn't a matter of going to church, reading your Bible, praying, saying prayers, and giving money. The Christian life is Jesus living in you, through you, for you, in behalf of you, forever and ever and ever and ever. Listen, whether you know it or not, you better make some plans to live forever, because that's what you're going to do. Have you got any plans made? You're going to live forever. Well, some folks have made plans to die. What about living? You see, if you only make plans for your family by taking out insurance policies and writing out your will, I want to tell you, my friend, that's all the stuff you're leaving behind. What about the other side? Are you making any plans? Think about it. Are you making any plans to live forever? Well, I'll give you a little hint. It'll help you. You don't even have to make any plans. They're already made. Your future is already taken care of if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. But I want to ask you again, do you know that? You know, people come to church for weeks and months and years and sit and listen to sermons, and they think they're good sermons, and they believe in God, and they believe the Bible's true, and they believe a lot of things, but there has never been a time in their life when they said, Lord Jesus, I do acknowledge that I am a sinner. I have sinned against you. I've wanted it my way. I've done my thing. But today I confess to you that I cannot forgive myself. I cannot save myself. I'm repenting of my sins. I'm confessing my sins. I'm receiving Jesus Christ's death on the cross. I'm receiving his atonement as full payment for my sin. And here and now I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, my Lord, and my life. Have you ever done that? If you haven't, and Jesus calls you, you have to turn to Revelation chapter 20 to find out what's going to happen to you. And the Bible says, you're going to die forever and ever and ever and ever. Listen, here's the difference. Some of us are going to live forever and ever and ever, and some are going to die forever and ever and ever. You see, separation from God is separation from life. That's death. Fellowship with God is oneness with life, and we're going to live forever and ever and ever. Not have you been to church, joined the church, been baptized, had the Lord's Supper sprinkled, poured on, immersed. But I want to ask you, if you knew, and the time is up, you've got about 30 seconds before 12 o'clock, let me ask you a question. If you had 30 seconds left and you knew that's all you had, are you resting in perfect assurance today? I'm saved by the grace of God. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Christ is my life. I'm in the river of eternal life. I'm heaven bound. Do you know that for absolute surety? If you do not, I want to urge you, my friend, to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. Acknowledge his death as payment and tell him today, Lord Jesus, I'm receiving you here and now as my Savior, my Lord, and my very life. And from this moment on, Lord, you just live your life through me, and I'll follow as you lead. Are you willing to tell him that today?
Thank you for listening to part two of Living the Life That Never Dies. If you'd like to know more about Charles Stanley or InTouch Ministries, stop by intouch.org. This podcast is a presentation of InTouch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia.